All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? Welcome to another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake. Jeremy Brenner here, and tonight we're talking Rockets Thunder. Rockets fall short again tonight to OKC. Final score 101 to 89. Just not enough offense on the Rockets end, and too much Lu Dort on the Thunder end. Death by Lu Dort is a familiar feeling among Red Nation, and we felt that feeling again tonight. 34 points for Lu Dort with 8 rebounds. And then, you know, just not enough to get the win tonight. Unfortunate, though, because we got the win against the Thunder earlier in the year. And, you know, it'd be nice to get a win sometime. But tonight, they just didn't play enough of a winning game tonight. The shots weren't falling, and it wasn't even the fact that they weren't getting the right shots. I thought that they were doing a decent job getting some shots up, some good shots up at that, but the shots got to fall. And I do think that the Rockets got a little bit unlucky tonight in terms of some of those shots just not falling, and some of and look, OKC also played really good defense. Got to give them credit as well. But the Rockets only shot 35% from the field and only 28% from the three-point line. You know, OKC is, I believe, the worst team in terms of defending the three-point line. So I think that's why Silas went a little smaller with his lineups tonight. He went with Garrison Matthews, who made his Rockets debut. He was the first or second guy off the bench. Armani Brooks got some run earlier in the game. And you saw Daniel House start over Daniel Tice. And obviously, no Kevin Porter tonight, so Eric Gordon started. And look, I think that's also another thing, too. If Kevin Porter plays in this game, I think the Rockets have a better chance to win. And we also saw kind of what a game would look like without Kevin Porter running the point guard position. And, you know, it resulted, I think, in fewer turnovers, especially in the second half. Only 14 turnovers with the Rockets tonight, so that league worst average is going to come down a little bit. But I do think that that was maybe part of it. But I also think that Kevin Porter brings more positive than negative to the table. And at least what we know is, because we took a variable out of the starting lineup and we were able to do something different, we kind of have an idea as to what the what the root of the problem is. And I think the root of the problem, honestly, is just that this team isn't that good. And that's okay. And you know, because you do want to look at all options and try to figure out, you know, if this team is bad, well, why? Is there something we can do to fix it? And despite Silas being stubborn about that, I do think that he was able to figure that out tonight a little bit. And look, I got a lot of people in the audience saying they're disagreeing with me. They're saying KBJ is a big negative. He's a ball stopping, inefficient scorer. And I think that, you know, whether or not KBJ playing tonight is, look, he's another creator. He's another creator. And I think that tonight the Rockets need a little bit more creation, only 89 points, and they could have used a little bit more offense tonight. Kevin Porter is a better offensive option than majority of the players on the roster. So I do think that Jalen Green stepped up in his place tonight, and I think we saw one of Jalen's better games tonight, 21 points for him on 6 of 14 shooting. He definitely started off stronger than he finished in the game, but I do think that we got a lot of positive tonight from Jalen. And I think if there's anything to take away from this game, that's what it is. And we'll take that, honestly. Any positives you can get, whether it's a win or a loss, you have to take at this point, especially when you're in a rebuild. And I think that the Rockets are moving closer to figuring out the problems. And that, to me, is good. Anything that you can get closer to figuring out the solution, the better. And that's it. I know there's going to be a lot of people tonight that are very frustrated with the loss, because this is, you know, the Rockets have not lost to every team that they've played this season, but this is the reality of where we're at right now. The Thunder were just the better team tonight, and every night the Rockets are going to play a team that is going to have a good chance to beat them. That's honestly it. We need teams to to struggle against us in order for us to have a chance to win, which makes it really difficult to win. But that's the nature of the Rockets roster right now. And yeah, that's really all there is to it. I don't really feel like there's much else to add to the situation. It's the same stuff we've been talking in night in, night out. I really do like the fact that the Rock were fighting back into the game the fourth quarter. I think that is a good sign. You know, the last couple of games at halftime, they were down, and then they weren't able to make the adjustments necessary to try to climb back into the game. And today they did. I think they made a couple of adjustments, and I think it worked. You know, they were within six just with a few minutes to go. It wasn't enough. There's no moral victories in tonight. It's a loss is a loss, but at the end of the day, I'd rather go out swinging than go down sitting. And that's what the Rockets have done the past couple of nights. And I think you can look at those losses and be more frustrated than a team that's fighting on the road. And even without one of their starters, still try their best to get the job done. I don't think the Rockets, the reason why they lost tonight is not because they didn't try hard enough. And that's the worst place you can be, is if you get a team that simply just loses because of effort. And I don't think effort was the reason why the Rockets lost tonight. I think they're just in a bad position to win basketball games because of the roster that they have. But that doesn't mean that they stop trying, which I can appreciate as a fan. But I do have some speaker requests here, so I'm going to get to those. We're going to start off with James here. So, James, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
For sure.
So, you know, I don't want to be that guy to just, I mean, first off, Lou freaking Dort, dude. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, that is something we do. Lou Dort has had many, he said, I think I read like a graphic on the broadcast tonight. It was like, this is his fifth straight game with 20 points. So this game didn't exactly come out of nowhere, but at the same time, you know, like letting anyone go off for 30 points is difficult, especially a guy that isn't really seen as much of a scorer. But I do think that because we know Lou Dort as this defensive-minded player, that it shocks us when he does this. But clearly, he's been given the opportunity to be a creator for the Thunder, given their roster circumstances. And tonight, I think he had a really good night, and the Rockets really didn't have an answer. And that is an issue. But at the same time, letting anyone go for 30 is a problem. It's not just letting Lou Dort go for 30. It's just they needed better answers for Lou Dort tonight, and they simply just didn't have it.
It just, every time like he throws up a three, I just get flashbacks of game seven, him dropping 30 on us again. It's just horrible. But another thing I wanted to touch on is I don't want to be jumping the guns too soon. You know, Silas is still young, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like this squad and this where we're at right now, we don't really necessarily need a player's coach. You know, I want a guy that's not necessarily their player's friend. You know, I want a boss type of figure. And mm-hmm. I think Silas would have been perfect for having, you know, the huge personalities with Harden and Westbrook. You know, I think he would have honestly blossomed at that role. But I mean, right now it's just completely different squad, completely different direction of the franchise, and I just don't know if he's that gritty coach who can get in these players' faces, you know, and bark orders like he should be, you know.
I totally get that, and I think that whoever the next coach of the Rockets is going to be, because I don't think Silas is going to last long enough to where the Rockets will be really good, because I do think that the timeline that Silas has versus the timeline that the Rockets have are not going to match up. But, you know, that's kind of how most teams operate that start off as rebuilds. And then you get to a point where, okay, you realize that this is not it. And then you need to make that change. Like, I think a good example of that is like the Knicks, right? Like the Knicks, they went, they got David Fizdale. And he was like a player's coach. And they realized it wasn't working for them. So they got Mike Miller in the middle of the season. And Mike Miller is not a player's coach. He was like a disciplinarian kind of guy. And then they got Tom Thibodeau. And you see now, you know, Tom Thibodeau has that team contending because that's the kind of guy that he is. I think most of those guys that are like, you know, disciplinarian guys, I feel like those coaches are not going to take a job like Houston's right now. They're not going to really take a job where, you know, the team isn't very good, the roster's not very good. You know, I think Silas is a good guy to have because that's, you know, he specializes in development. And these players are still in the middle of that development. And when you're looking for player development, I think Silas is a good coach to have. But when you're looking at team development, the jury's still out on him because at this point, Silas hasn't been expected to win yet. You know, he's been given the orders to develop the players as best as he can. And I think maybe the Rockets have almost too many projects. Maybe that is part of the issue and maybe part of why the development isn't as quick with these guys. And maybe that's why the wins and losses have, you know, been where it is, because there is just so much developing projects that they're working on with Green and Porter and Şengün, and even in some regard, you know, KJ Martin. You know, there's just not enough room on the team to develop these guys fully, you know. And maybe, you know, in the back half of the season, we'll see more of that because the guy like Eric Gordon will be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, guy like Daniel House will probably be gone as well. DJ Augustine probably won't be there. So, you know, Josh Christopher gets more minutes. And I think you're going to see in the second half of the season more development. And I think with Rockets fans, the reason why we're like kind of impatient with it is because last season we were forced to play all the young guys because everyone was injured and they were just kind of thrown into it. But usually how developing teams operate is you play your couple veterans and then you ship them at the deadline to try to get as many assets as possible because you need to get as many tickets at the lottery at the draft you possibly can. And that's why DJ Augustine's there. That's why Daniel House is there. And even though they aren't warranting, you know, that like enough, especially House, I think starting him tonight is not why the Rockets lost tonight. I think the reason why he went for that though is because he wanted more spacing. He wanted to go for more threes. I think that's why you saw Garrison Matthews go there. Armani Brooks got some minutes early on, and you know the Rockets. I think Silas expected more threes to fall. You know they shot under 30%, and they probably should, like they lost by what 12 tonight. Four more threes go in, and it's a totally different ballgame. And they got some good looks.
I mean, yeah, and free throws, yeah, and turnovers. I mean, that could be a close game with the flip of a coin, you know. But another thing I want to see out of Silas is there's going to be a lot of blowouts this year, you know. I mean, that's just going to happen. And I want to see Jalen Green run with this second unit, you know.
Yeah, wild.
He's young. He's got fresh legs. He doesn't have any miles on his legs yet. He's still trying to get comfortable. Against a second unit, I feel like he could slow down the game. Do it, figure out what he wants to do before he does it. You know, I mean, just to see that happen a few times a game, I mean, especially during a blowout when he's just sitting on the bench, he's just not getting enough experience as he should be, I feel like.
I agree with that. And that, you know, that could probably help his confidence because I do think that, you know, adjusting to the NBA is he still trying to. And I think maybe if you give him a game like that, you know, he could find more of a rhythm by getting those reps in. And you know, even though Jalen Green is, you know, the star of our team per se, or he's supposed to be, he still is developing and he should be getting those garbage time minutes. So
if they're not meaningful minutes, they're still meaningful minutes for him.
There's meaning,
you know,
for Jalen Green. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, not for, I'd say, meaningful minutes for Eric Gordon or a vet that's already been down in close game situations, but for Green, I mean, why not throw him in? You know, he's not gonna. His legs aren't rusty yet. Might as well.
Yeah, I can vibe with that for sure. Especially over like Nwaba or Daniel House or whoever. I think you can work because at garbage time, you know, lineups don't really mean a thing. You know, you can put just any five guys out there. You can put five guards out there for all I care. But it does get them that experience, and you know, maybe Silas sees that garbage time is more of an opportunity for guys like Josh Christopher, Usman Garuba, who went to the G League a couple days ago. So I think that's what he's thinking, but I do agree with you. I think Jalen Green could also benefit from minutes like that. Is there anything else you got before I got the next speaker up?
And with the younger guy. No, thanks.
Of course,
thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think with Jalen, I think it's just a matter of time before he starts to get it. I think tonight was good for him. I really, like, if there's Like, I know Rockets fans are going to fixate about the loss, and as they should, you know, loss sucked. And it sucks to lose 99 out. But as long as we take something positive away from each game, that to me is what makes this season worth it. And I think taking Jalen Green's performance tonight, look, there's a lot of work left to do. There were some shots that he took and they just didn't look very good. But his shot is getting a little bit better, I think. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Green does in the next game. But I've got Adam here to come up next. So, Adam, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm terrible because the Rockets lost. But other than that, not too bad. But yeah, anything you got, drop your Dream Take right now.
Yeah, so I want to take a different tact from maybe what other speakers are gonna kind of bring up. But I think growth was the big kind of concept that I took out of tonight. It's not growth over how well we've seen them play at their best this year, but from last game, there's a lot of perseverance and to come out and actually be a competent team because they were competent tonight. I think that was positive. Oklahoma City, they're a well-coached team. They're well-disciplined. They have an identity already, even though they're a young team. I mean, there's a reason why they're, 5-8 so far this year. They're a capable team. Some of the bad tonight, Christian Wood. I think I counted six or seven, maybe even a little more gimmies that he missed. And that's within 5 feet of the basket. And you might say, well, you know, those were somewhat contested, but he's going up against Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Guy's 6'7". He's more athletic than that guy. And even more so I'm even more so disappointed in his performance, just in his attitude. It actually brings to mind and crystallizes maybe some of the anecdotal stories you heard about why Detroit didn't sign him, why they chose to go with Jeremy Grant. Because I don't think he's a leader on this team. The leaders of this team are Jayshon Tate, Eric Gordon, and to a lesser degree, DJ Augustin, but lesser degree because he doesn't play as much. And his bad attitude, his sulking, just I think it permeates through everything. And I think he's one of those players that he's got all the talent in the world, but that his attitude can become a cancer on a team. And that's a little worrying to me.
Adam, have you seen Ted Lasso?
Yeah, of course.
Christian Wood needs to have the memory of a goldfish. He needs to be a goldfish. And for those that aren't familiar with Ted Lasso, a goldfish has the memory of a 10-second memory. That's what Ted Lasso says. You need to be a goldfish. And I think that, you know, that's a message that the whole team could use, because I do think that part of why these losses are starting to pile up is because they feel the sluggishness from the night before or the game before, where it's, you know, oh, we lost again by 30. Let's, you know, like the switch is not as quick as it would be for veterans that have, you know, been through losses like that before. It's growing pains. Every team that becomes a contender, or I should say most teams that become a contender, have to go through that. And some are worse than others. I'm not going to say that the Rockets and their what's going on this season is totally normal for all rebuilding teams. It's not, but it's just the reality of the situation right now. And I think with Christian Wood, you know, there were a lot of gimmies tonight. And honestly, some of them were just unlucky bounces, or just, you know, the rim just wasn't friendly to him tonight. But there were some that, you know, he could have made, like, that were on him. And I do think that maybe if he wasn't as, you know, frustrated over that, and this frustration is probably building from, you know, the whole season, or, you know, all of last season maybe, but it's, you know, but at the end of the day, no matter what happened the night before, whatever happened the play before, you should be expected to do your job on the next play, and you have, or the next game. And I think Christian Wood does let that, like, let his past, like, if he struggles on a play, or if he doesn't get the unlucky bounce that he should have gotten, I do think he lets that get to him a little bit. And I see where you're coming from, and maybe that is why, because there were parts of his career. Like, I think when Christian Wood first got here, we were all like, oh, you know, how did we only get this guy for $40 million? And how did he go undrafted? And how did he go from team to team like this? Like, it was confusing. But I do think what you mentioned, Adam, is starting to kind of, you know, maybe make a little bit of sense. And in reality, you know, I think in Detroit, he finally was able to put enough pieces together to where he was able to get in the rotation consistently and to play well. And look, Christian Wood is still the best player on the team, I think, at least in terms of like right now. If I need a guy to go and get me like 20, I think the guy that can get me 20 points the fastest on this team right now is Christian Wood. And like he plays a very important role, and I don't think the team should trade him, because I don't think that really helps the situation at this point, at least for this season. But I think he does need to take it upon himself to get better at that. And it's not easy. Like, I think that if it were easy, you know, Christian would, like, the Rockets would be a lot better right now. So I don't want to, like, take that away from him or anything like that. But, you know, it's something that he needs to get better on. And it's just, you know, when you lose this many games, it's a matter of, you know, you got to point the finger at yourself. You got to realize what you did to contribute to loss and what can I do to help prevent this loss from happening again in the next game.
Do you mind if I say something about Coach Silas?
Of course.
I saw growth in Coach Silas tonight as well. I think there's a lot of he's in the firing. You know, he's a scapegoat right now, right? But I saw growth by changing the starting lineup. Obviously, he said that he was going to do something like that. I think what will show if he's really kind of committed to that growth and kind of being flexible with his lineups is next game. If we see Daniel House play 20 minutes again, that'll be a bad sign for me. If Daniel House plays 7 to 10 minutes at most, then I'll be able to cut Coach Silas some more slack. I think
he played 12 minutes tonight. 12 minutes for him tonight. KJ Martin, 12 minutes as well. Garrison Matthews played 21. And I feel like Garrison Matthews, who's on a two-way deal right now, he would honestly, like, if you want to make a change to the starting lineup, he would make a lot of sense. You know, he's has some NBA mileage on him, but he is on a two-way contract, so they got to be careful with how they utilize him if that's how they want to go. But I think, you know, he hadn't played with the team before tonight. So I understand why he didn't start him tonight instead of Daniel House. But considering how Daniel House played tonight, like, I think that opening stretch, he had some good defensive, defensive moves. Yeah. And I think, you know, and Silas does value defense in that starting lineup. And I think that's why he went there tonight. And that's why Tice is honestly starting, because, you know, he saw that, you know, Tice is there for defense. And it allows Wood to be more, more focused on the offensive end and doesn't have to worry so much on the defensive end. And I think that's ultimately why he went with House over a guy like Garrison Matthews or KJ Martin, per se, because he wanted to try something different from the two big lineup, which I think was a step in the right direction, because given OKC tonight, you needed more shooters. And because they just are a poor three-point defensive team, and the Rockets were able to get some of those open threes, but they just didn't fall in. And I think moving forward, Garrison Matthews is better on the offensive end, so I think he's a better option for that starting lineup.
He actually impressed me on the defensive end and how he competed. Like, I mean, this could have easily been a 25-30 point blowout, but I think the group that Silas kept out there at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, that, you know, where Jalen Green and Christian Wood weren't on the floor. I mean, there's a reason that they stayed out there. They were competing on defense. They were kind of chipping away. They were back cutting. They were getting to the basket. I think this is where I push back a little bit on your assertion about KPJ, us having a better chance to win tonight. with KPJ. I don't think we need a prototypical or even what you would think of as a normal kind of point guard for an NBA structure.
Point guard.
I think, I mean, Jayshon Tate brought the ball up. I liked, you know, there was a lot more ball movement without KPJ. I feel like the first quarter, you know, we were down by three, where typically I think the trend that we've been seeing is we're down by 7 to 10 points. And this is not a team that can make multiple runs at competent teams. And so keeping it close in the first gave them a better chance to actually compete in the second. Obviously they got outscored by 9 when their shooting failed, because they're just not a really good shooting team. Their ceiling offensively is probably 105, you know, scoring 105 points per 100 quarter per 100 possessions. But
yeah,
it's just there's growth. I was pleased with what I saw from Jalen Green, because if you just looked at the game without actually checking the numbers, you would say this was a below average game. But you know, he shot 6 for 14, 3 of 9 from three, a lot of positives. And one play that really kind of stood out to me was the tip dunk from Dort. The play directly subsequent to that. Most players, you know, his age would have gone, you know, gone one-on-one with Dort on the other end. He was patient. He, you know, ran the offense. I mean, that was a pleasant surprise for me. Obviously you want him to be aggressive, but you know, I think in a way Jalen Green shows more leadership and poise than Christian Wood does as a 26-year-old. And that's something to really kind of hang your hat on. And this season for me is just as much about kind of assessing Christian Wood. Obviously you don't want to just trade him for nothing, but the coaching staff has a tough battle ahead of them. They have a tough battle.
Everyone is undervalued.
They have to maintain the value of Tice and Wood and all these players, and the veterans specifically, mm-hmm. while also kind of developing these young players. And it's a tricky, you know, they have to thread that needle, and that's not so easy. That's something we got to be cognizant of for this game.
Yeah, I think Silas has a really tough assignment with these rotations, because he has to flash some of the veterans to help boost their trade value while also developing the other half of the roster. And in some nights you have, and it's really hard to get a good balance of that, because on nights like tonight, you know, when you don't have Kevin Porter in, but you need to play DJ Augustine, you need to play, you know, he got 12 guys involved tonight, 12 guys played tonight, but you look at Alperen Şengün, only 5 minutes, and KJ Martin, only 12 minutes. So it's definitely a struggle tonight. And I hope that the reason why Şengün wasn't playing is because he was either hurt or not feeling well or something like that. Because, you know, it's just considering how well he's played, of course, over the last couple of games, I would hope that, you know, that is like not why. But also at the same time, the game plan tonight was centered around putting more shooters on the floor. And Tice was actually playing pretty well. And I think that he rode the hot hand with Tice because he saw that the Rockets had a chance to win. And I think he was playing for the win tonight. And, you know, I think when you're Steven Silas and you have a team like that, when you don't have really an opportunity to win every night, you got to take advantage when you do. And I think he was playing for the win tonight. And I don't think the reason why the team lost tonight was because of Steven Silas. I think it was because of just simply execution, and the Thunder were able to execute their game plan a little bit better than the Rockets. And ultimately you're going to have nights like that. And especially when you're a team that just isn't when you're 1-13, that's just the case of tonight.
I agree. One last point. I'm not pushing for Silas to get fired, but I think looking back on it, I would have really preferred a coach like Kenny Atkinson from the Nets. And you can see the impact of like Atkinson on the Warriors. He's basically leading the player development, you know, developing Poole and all these other players, Damian Lee. And I hope I'm wrong. And I hope that maybe, you know, this is very early on in the process, but I hope we can kind of see something like what we saw from kind of the Nets pre-KD and Kyrie, where you saw that team basically trying to emulate the Rockets, you know, with Harden, and doing it in a way with lesser talent, with Dinwiddie and LeVert. And hopefully we can see that type of player development and that type of team development. And I hope also what's almost equally as important as the offensive kind of output for Jalen Green is just the continued growth on defense. Cause I think there's potential there, moving his feet, kind of being able to get, stop giving up those easy kind of, drives by even like Giddy getting by him. Those are just like, I can understand it against, Gilgeous Alexander. But you can't get blown by Giddy and.
I don't know. Giddy's pretty quick too. Like, I think that's an underrated part of his game. I think I underestimated him coming out of the draft just because he wasn't seen as like, I think a lot of people were surprised that he went as high as he did. I think a lot of people were expecting him to be in the second half of the lottery. And I think that's why people are like kind of surprised, but look, he's been given an opportunity to play in OKC. And I think that's why he's so grateful that he plays there because, he's always like, oh, I've always wanted to play in OKC. I don't want to play anywhere else. And I think Giddy's really like, I think we also have to just take into consideration that, the Thunder do have talent. And I think they're developing a little bit differently than the Rockets. I think they're a little bit further along on the Rockets rebuild, but I also think that the way that they're rebuilding, it's a longer project for them. I think they're playing more of a longer game. Whereas I think the Rockets, although they might be worse right now, I think they have a better chance to rebuild faster because they have gotten top tier talent and I think they have more pieces in place to contend at this time than the Thunder do. I'm interested to see how Lu Dort is going to be a part of this team moving forward. I'm curious as to, if he will be able to, figure things out. And also at the same time too, the Thunder, they aren't bottoming out. Like they're not going to, they're going to need some ping pong balls to go in their way to be that number one. They're going to get probably, at this rate, they're probably going to get like the sixth or seventh pick in the draft and get another, maybe guy that isn't necessarily going to be a star, but the Rockets, if they are on the pace that they're on, they might have a better chance to get a star and a guy moving forward on the team. But Adam, really appreciate the dialogue, very intelligent basketball conversation. So I appreciate you. And thank you for supporting the show. Of course. Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, the Rockets tonight, it's just unlucky, an unlucky bounce. I think they had a chance to win. I don't think they necessarily played better than the Thunder, but they could have played a little bit better. But I'm not disappointed with tonight. But one last speaker request here from Jonathan before we sign off. So, Jonathan, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Jeremy, I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent.
Yeah, you guys kind of like pretty much talked about everything I was going to mention in the last little conversation there. But I guess just to kind of reiterate, I guess one of the problems I have, with this team is there's just a lack of physicality outside of Jayshon Tate and even Jalen Green. Like, I'm really disappointed that Christian, when I know we were beating on him earlier in the show, but like the fact that he wasn't taking as strong to the rim, that gets really frustrating because like he's trying to avoid contact, and in doing so, he's missing these bunnies like we were seeing tonight. So I just think he needs to play more physical if this offense is going to improve as a whole, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that was also part of this team is really trying to figure itself out. And at the same time, too, like the bodies that these guys have, like Jalen Green is just at this point in his career not meant to be a physical specimen. And same goes with Christian Wood. And you would like to have your big man, be a little bit more physical. Like, I mean, the thing with Jeremiah Robinson Earl is that he's not necessarily the biggest guy, but he's physical. And that's why he was able to hang there with Christian Wood tonight. It's just because he's able to be physical. And I'm sure he'll have a decent NBA career because he is able to be, that physical presence down low that every team needs. And maybe that's a personnel problem. Maybe it's something that the Rockets just don't have enough of that they could use. But also, like,
I think Usman Garuba could be that guy. And maybe Şengün when he develops more, as just physically. This team is super young. So I think that is part of why this team is just not as physical, just because their bodies don't match up to these other, guys that have been in the NBA for years and years and years. And, the Thunder aren't necessarily, this old team with a bunch of veterans, but the way that they're built, just they are built more physically than the Rockets are. Lu Dort is a physical, defender. Kenrich Williams, another example. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, all these guys, so they have more of that identity that the Rockets are lacking right now. And it's because the Thunder are a little bit more further along in this rebuild. And I do think that once the Rockets are able to really start to figure things out, then they're going to build more of an identity. And I think they're trying to build that with Kevin Porter and Jalen Green. And I think you'll see as the games go on that will take more shape. But yeah, I think the biggest problem of anything is this team is still trying to find its identity.
Yeah, I guess what kind of bugged me was, I don't know. I don't even know who the starting center was for the Thunder, but this wasn't, JaVale McGee or Steven Adams from the last two games. I mean, this is Mike Muscala and
Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Yeah, he's a rookie. I think he's like 6'10", he's from Villanova, but
no Steven Adams though. Come on.
Yeah, no, he's not Steven Adams. You're right. But at the same time, I think it's a lot of these games comes down to who wants it more. And I think tonight, that was part of it. I do. I think that the Thunder wanted this game because they felt like, the last time that they played, it wasn't a good representation of what team they were. And I think they played a little bit more of a swagger tonight than the Rockets did. I think the Rockets had that throughout the game, but I think their offensive woes in the first half, it really took them out of the game a little bit. And I think the Thunder just were more locked in throughout the entirety of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of another team that's less physical or maybe at the same level of physicality as us right now. Because, I mean, it's almost like we're gonna go up against a more physical team every night until we figure this out. So,
and that might be a thing that happens throughout the rest of this season and next season. But I do think that. That's how good teams, I think that's like the Thunder are not a good team. Like they're not, but their physicality and just the way, like their effort, it gets them some wins that they shouldn't necessarily get. So I think maybe those are the kind of pieces the Rockets are missing right now. And there is no quick fix to this. Like that's the thing is everyone's talking like, oh, there's a whole lot of Rockets fans right now that are saying, oh, Silas should be fired. Oh, Howe should be cut. Oh, trade Eric Gordon, get Şengün in the starting lineup. And I think, maybe getting Şengün in the starting lineup is probably the closest option, but like those quick fixes, like I don't think any of those things would have changed like the outcome of tonight's game. Or the outcome of many of these games, to be honest with you. I just think the Rockets as a team are just not built to win a lot of basketball games right now. And there is no quick fix. That's why it's a rebuild. It's a long process. That's why the Sixers called it the process, because it takes a couple years. And look at where the Sixers are now. And I'm not saying the Rockets are like the Sixers, but if you keep in mind, I think the Rockets this year are better than the Sixers' lowest point, which was 2015, 2016, sort of 1-30. And that isn't out of the question for the Rockets. Now, we still have about, 17 or so more games to go. I don't think the Rockets are going to be 1-30. But I do think that this does take time. And if you don't have the personnel that are capable of winning these basketball games, it makes it really difficult. And some nights, things will go right. Sometimes you may catch a team on a bad night, or you might just have a really good night. But, yeah, that's just the reality of the situation right now. And there's not really much else we can really do about it. Once we get to the trade deadline and all that, then we can start fixing this team. Then we can really see the full development of these guys where they have 40 games into them. They're not trying to figure each other out anymore. They know who they are. They know how to play with each other. That's when I think you're going to see the true meat of this development and the true progress of this team really come through.
Yeah, I agree. I guess patience is the name of the game right now. I guess it's a little bit hard to be patient, but if you don't see the incremental improvements, but I guess, it's just something I guess we got to stay patient with, I guess. That's all I really have to say.
Yeah, I mean, look, if there was a quick fix to the issue, I think it would have been fixed by now. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I think the way we saw tonight, like, I think tonight was important because we were able to, you know, change the variables a little bit. We changed the starting lineup. We changed, Kevin Porter being in versus out. And we were able to see, you know, what the root of the issue really was. And the turnovers were down tonight. I think that was a positive. And maybe that was part of, you know, Kevin Porter not playing. But also at the same time, 14 turnovers, it's hard. You know, I think the Thunder had, 11 or 10? So they lost that, 10 turnovers for the Thunder versus 14 for the Rockets. So, like, not too much. No player had more than, you know, 3 turnovers. So I wouldn't say that was, the main issue of the game. But, you know, I think that's still an area of improvement that they can work on. And I don't know if necessarily Kevin Porter is the root issue of the turnovers, and the turnovers are the root issue of the team losing. But I think with this, Silas is an easy scapegoat because you can, it's much easier to fire the coach than fire the players. And at this point, we need to look at the facts. We have problems with the rotation. We have problems with the personnel, or we have problems with the coaching. If it's a coaching issue, I don't think the coaching is an issue right now, personally. I really don't, because if you really think that these rotations are going to dramatically change this team, I really don't think it would. I think maybe you get a win or two when you lost. Maybe that Denver game is different, or maybe one of those Lakers games is different. Maybe you get a win, against Detroit. Maybe that's some of those games is different. At the end of the day, you're still 4-10, 4-11. It doesn't change a whole lot. That's why I don't really point the finger at Silas. You can also point the finger at the front office. And you can say, well, the front office doesn't have the right players on the floor. And they don't have the right players in the roster. And that's the reality of a rebuild. They drafted 4 rookies. I don't necessarily know if that was the right move to do. I like all 4 rookies, and I think all 4 rookies have tons of potential, and they can all succeed. But it's hard to develop all of those guys at the same time. So maybe I point my finger to there. But if you look at the long-term solution of this team, then that is probably, you know, then you excuse it a little bit. And so that's why I'm not really pointing the finger at the front office either. And at the end of the day, you look at the players and, you know, they have all this potential, and that's why they're out there. But and there were some things tonight that, you know, could have gone the Rockets' way. You know, I think tonight's loss is on the players. I really do. Make a couple more threes. You know, maybe turn the ball over a little bit less. Make some more free throws. Those are to me the more common themes of why this team is losing. And Silas trusts it. Silas is the way that they're going about it is they're letting them learn on their own. They're letting them learn through experience. And that's not going to necessarily lead to a whole lot of wins. But I do think that is a viable way to develop these guys. And having them learn from mistakes. I think you learn more from mistakes than you learn from success. So that is the route this team is going. And it's not necessarily resulting in all these wins. And I can understand why people are frustrated with that, because people want results. And at the end of the day, that's what the NBA is about. The NBA is about results. And the Rockets are not giving the correct results right now. But at this point, there really is no quick fix to this. You don't put a Band-Aid on this team and send it right back out. This is this team needs multiple surgeries and time to recover before they're ready to go out there again and improve. They need a new knee, a new starting point guard. They're trying to work this one out. They need a new hip. They need a new, they broke their arm. They need a kidney transplant. They need a whole lot of organs to, you know, be donated, because they were in a huge car crash after James Harden left town. So that to me is, you can't just send a guy out with a new leg and expect it to run. They need to walk. They need to learn how to walk again. They need to learn how to jog again. They need to learn how to run again. And then they can start to run competitively again. And then they can start to become a better version of themselves than they were before. Yeah, sorry. I feel like I was totally stealing your thunder there. No pun intended. If you want to go on like a 5-minute soliloquy now, Jonathan, about surgeries and all that, go ahead.
I was going to say that I did agree with you in terms of this isn't totally on Silas, because I did see the high quality shot attempts that we were taking and just missing. So, I mean, I think he's putting us in good spots to get, good looks. We're just not making them. But the other thing that I think he needs to really focus on again is defense. Because, I mean, I get the offense will come with time, but defense is just effort. And I hate seeing us be so bad on defense. Like, we're giving up open threes to not just Thunder, but, every team we play, we give up open threes all the time. And they're just so deflating.
I agree with that. I think tonight, when you give up 101 points, it's, under average for the Rockets. But then again, Thunder are not a great offensive team. I think Lou Dort had four of those threes. They made 10 threes as a team tonight. Lou Dort made four of them. And I think the scouting report for that was off. Maybe that's something I can blame the coaches on for tonight. Like, we know Lou Dort can hit open threes. And yes, his three-point percentage, let me look it up real quick, because I think that was a mistake to just let him go and just shoot those wide open threes. Maybe that's the issue, is letting a bunch of these guys shoot the open threes and maybe relying too much on the scouting report. But I mean, looking at his stats, he's a 28% three-point shooter that shot 40% tonight. So you would expect him to shoot 28%. So he would have made about, I guess, two or three, and he made four. So
this is more of an advanced stat, but what's the percentage on open threes for him? I'm sure it's not 28. So
yeah, I wish I could pull that up right away, but I guess maybe in terms of just, scouting like that, maybe they rely on that because they all, that's just who the Rockets have been. And maybe tonight they just, lost on the law of averages, but also at the same time, the law of averages will come back in favor for the Rockets. I'm sure of it. And if they want to live by the three and die by the three, then I think that's a strategy the Rockets have adopted for years. And it's controversial because the Rockets have really died by the three at some points during their last several years, and they've really lived by it as well. So I think that there is a little bit of maybe there's a little bit of a flaw in that, but I think the Rockets believe in what they have right now. Maybe not necessarily to get wins a whole lot throughout the season, but they are still sticking to their guns. And I think I can respect the fact that they feel confident in the system that they are and feel like they can make adjustments on the fly if they need to. But they are sticking to the vision. And the vision right now is not a whole lot of wins now, but that's not the goal. The goal is, for games like these to help grow, and hopefully they will help build wins, down the line.
Yeah. The last thing I just want to say is that, pains me to say this, but I really kind of wish we would take more of a Greg Popovich approach to this rebuild and just start with defense, develop that culture first and let the offense come later. I mean, honestly, I think we're trying too much on offense right now. I think it's just burdening the players.
Yeah, I definitely feel what you're saying. And I think, by taking Jalen Green, a scorer, as their top draft pick, I think they wanted to build that identity on offense. And I think that you can't just, throw offense, throw defense all in there at once. It has to come one after the other. And in my opinion, defense is, even though it is a guard-oriented league and it is, a scoring-oriented league, defense wins championships at the end of the day. And I think that's where you have to start a rebuild. And that's why the Thunder are maybe a little bit further along than the Rockets are, because they do focus more on defense than offense. But Jonathan, again, great conversation with you tonight. I really appreciate it. Sorry if I talked your ear off. I feel like I've done that a lot tonight, but I guess this is a podcast, so you signed up for it when you click play. So thank you so much, Jonathan. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
For sure. Thanks, and you know, maybe it's because Mike's not here tonight. Maybe that's why I feel like I'm talking too much, but I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dreamshake SBN. You can also head to our Facebook page. Give us a like over there if you're on the Facebooks. And you can also head to our website at thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. You can check us out again Saturday. We have an early tip-off, I believe, on Saturday. I believe we have a 5 o'clock start on the East Coast, so that's 4 p.m. Houston time. So another afternoon game. This was the same case 2 weeks ago in Denver. Mike will be doing the show after Saturday's game, so be sure to check it out. I believe we'll be back on Spotify Green Room. Thank you again to our live audience here on Spotify Green Room. Another great turnout tonight. So I think this is just to show, you know, even though the Rockets are losing, we still have a lot of pride for our team. So I'm really happy to have the vibes here, happy to have all of you guys listening to it. Without you guys, you know, we couldn't do what we do here at The Dream Take. So again, if you would ever be so kind, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, don't have to, but if you would like to, it's at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Until next time, go Rockets.